welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, everybody. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. Here we are. Hi, guys. We are here approaching the holidays. I am having so many interesting conversations about what the holidays bring up for people, both joy and challenge. And so I hope wherever you find yourself in the midst of this holiday season, you are keeping your sanity. You know, it's sometimes it's hard. And sometimes this is a real joy. And I don't mean to, you know, shit on the holidays, because they can be really, really great. And this season's been pretty great for me so far. But, you know, not always. Certainly not always. And those of us with childhood trauma, the holidays can really be challenging. So I hope wherever this finds you, you're making the best of it, celebrating and tolerating and anything in between. So in terms of housekeeping, I've been getting tons of DMs and emails asking for ways, like, how do I start this in earnest? I want to make this a New Year's resolution, even though, you know, those can be a little tricky in terms of shame, carry no shame. But if you are looking to really start really earnestly in the new year, the best thing I can say is that's the reason I created the online courses. You know, the online courses are like being with me, like me holding your hand with all original content, videos and meditations and exercises and teaching you how to do this from beginning to end. So, you know, that's my best answer, because I just can't be everywhere all at once. So go to thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the courses tab, and you can take either Freedom from Chronic Pain or Freedom from an Anxious Life. And remember that chronic pain, the umbrella of chronic pain, includes any stomach issues, any skin issues. And it also includes anxiety and depression, because it's chronic issues. Freedom from an Anxious Life is kind of like the next level course. If you understand my work and you've been journal speaking and you want to specifically address your anxiety, I've had lifelong struggles with anxiety, so it's both my clinical experience and my personal experience in that course, if you're an anxious person, if you generally just run anxious, which I absolutely do. So anyway, that's my response, my en masse response to you guys asking me about how to start this earnestly in the new year. And for those of you in my private membership community that started a few weeks ago, oh my God, I'm loving it. And it's really, really, it's hitting really deep. And so for those of you who were considering it and didn't make it into group one, please send me an email with the subject line membership to njsachs@thecureforchronicpain.com, so you can get on the wait list. As soon as I hit maximum for the second group, I'll start it. I'm not going to have to wait a full 6 months. So if you're interested in membership, it's $99 a month, and we are going to do live Zooms every month and have a private online community where I spend a lot of time every day answering questions and being with people, as does my partner Lisa, who is my partner in this work as well as my partner in life, and is so freaking helpful, as everyone is finding. So we're really dedicating a lot of our energy to that. So if you are interested in that, please send me an email and get on the wait list. All right, my loves. So today we are going to talk about a topic near and dear to my heart, which is which was instigated by the speak pipe I received from Dana. Dana is a mother of, I kind of assume, young children. She did not say their ages. And Dana is feeling a little numb. She's struggling with insomnia. And she is feeling like she's putting her life on hold, that age-old problem of, when I reach blank, then I'm going to do what I really want to do. You know, when my kids are older, when I make enough money, when my career reaches a certain point, then I'm going to really, you know. And she's so wise and so insightful, just knowing that her insomnia and her stuckness in life is because she's put her life on hold to wait for what, you know? I mean, we all get stuck in that. And so we're going to talk about that. I have some insights that I heard when I heard her speak pipe, I really wanted to share. So let's play Dana's speak pipe, and then you and I will talk about it on the other side.
Hi, Nicole. My name is Dana. I just wanted to say that I absolutely love your work, and it's been nothing short of life-changing for me. So thank you for all that you do. I have been pondering about a particular topic. I've been struggling with insomnia for the last, year or so, and I've seen a lot of improvements through journal speak and trying to feel my feelings, which to be totally honest, is a brand new revelation for me. I don't know how I've gone through, almost 40 years of my life not knowing this, but it's been pretty life-changing for me. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about sort of the idea of feeling numb. And, the reason I brought up my two kids is that I kind of feel like my life is on hold a little bit. I feel like I'm just sort of waiting around for them and waiting for things to get more manageable with them so I can finally start doing the things I wanted to do. A little history is, I actually quit my job to be with my kids, but I also quit my job to sort of find a different direction vis-a-vis career or finding more meaningful work. And in a way, I almost feel like the insomnia is also kind of waiting. Like I'm waiting for sleep. I'm waiting for things to just go. And I don't know how to really put that together, or I don't know if that means anything. But if you can speak about the idea of, feeling like your life is on hold, I thought that might be something interesting. Again, I don't know if this makes any sense, or, feel free to use as much of this as you like. Just wanted to say thank you again, and we're all very thankful for all that you do. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the first thing, Dana, I want to say is thank you for being so awake, because you have to be awake to this stuff in order to gain any insight at all. One of the things I say about this journey with chronic anything is we begin it really walking around asleep. We are scared. We're fueled by fear. We're only looking at the symptom. So in the case of Dana, it would be, obsession with insomnia, only thinking about how she was going to figure out how to sleep, panic about it, pre-grieving, which causes brain conditioning, which causes more insomnia. So we all begin with that kind of stance. And then as the journey goes on, I'll be honest with you, what kind of rips that Band-Aid off, that stance, is desperation. We try things, we go to doctors, we try different treatments and modalities, and we're like, shit, this is not working. And I'm just worse, and this applies to every chronic symptom. I've been working with people for over 20 years. And then little by slowly, as resistance and desperation kind of breaks you down in the best possible way, you end up in surrender. And in surrender, you wake up a little bit and you say, all right, what else could be going on here? It's not just the symptom. It's not just my back pain. It's not just my stomach. It's not just my headaches. It's not just my fibro. It's not just my what have you. It can't just be this. I've treated it. I've surgerized. I've changed it. That's my word. I know it's not a real word. I've done everything that I feel like I can do within the spectrum of what I've been told I can do. And it's like not better. That's when you start to wonder. I love the space of wonder. What else could be going on? And what I hear from Dana is she's wondering. She's saying, I left my job. I know why I left my job. First of all, I left my job to be with my kids, which, by the way, is fraught, as any parent will tell you, because being with kids is hard and exhausting and sometimes thankless, because kids don't enjoy thanking you. And sometimes your spouse or your partner is so caught up in their life that they're not thanking you enough. And we all have been there. And this isn't, there's no blame and shame. It's just the way things are. My friend, when my kids were little, I had a friend who said, don't judge it so much. These are the lost years. And she was talking about having little kids. And, as much as that's funny and as much as that can bring solace, we don't want them to be the lost years. And so So Dana's talking about the fact that she, you know, she left her job, she's with her kids, and she knows that's kind of in tandem to being with her kids. She wanted to find some more satisfaction, maybe in a different career or line of work. And so here's where she finds herself. And she knows she's numb. She knows she's having trouble sleeping. And she knows that perhaps, just perhaps, it's because she has this intuition that she's putting her life on hold in order to wait for some outcome in order to then finally live the way she wants to live, achieve what she wants to achieve, be what she wants to be. So the first thing this brings up for me is, first of all, let me just bring a massive, massive connection to this quandary. I spent a good chunk of my life in this thinking, first totally asleep, like really believing that I had to wait it out to do anything. You know, I can't do anything while my kids are this little, or while my marriage is this unhappy, or while my career is this stagnant, you know, whatever. And then I woke up, and little by slowly, and, you know, the same trajectory that we all take, I took. And then I started thinking bigger. I started thinking even beyond the lens of this work that I teach here. And I started thinking about spirituality. And if this triggers you, please know the word spirituality does not mean, for me, does not mean religion. It doesn't even have to mean God or a higher power if you don't want it to. For me, when I say spirituality, what I really mean is something, a concept or a philosophy just larger than just the, like, the little me, the me trapped inside my brain, you know, occupying the space between my two ears, all of my personal limited experience. When I think outside of that, I really become open to curiosity and possibilities, which can feed so many great ideas and revelations and insights. And so when I started studying Eastern philosophy, I started understanding that so often in the Western world, we feel trapped in this sort of rat racy mindset of, when I get this, I'm going to be happy, or when I get this and feel settled in this, then I can do what really makes me feel satisfied. And, you know, it's just, it's really kind of a waste. It's a hamster wheel, you know? And I started studying Ram Dass, which I know if you're a listener of the podcast, you've heard me talk about him. One of the things he used to say, one of the stories he used to tell, was he would do these lectures all over the world, and he would meet young mothers, and they would say to him, "I know that you say to meditate. I know that you say to do different spiritual practice, but I have little kids, and, like, I can't. You know, I can't meditate. I have little kids. I can't do what I want. My life is not my own. When my kids are older, then, you know, I'll look into what you're saying." And what he said in these lectures was, "Don't you understand? Your children are your spiritual practice." You know, and it brings up the Buddhist saying, which I believe was actually mentioned last week by Grace, in the interview we did, the Real Time Heal. "The obstacles in the path are the path." You know, God, and it's so keeping with our mindset that really keeps us stuck in the chronic pain recovery journey, which is, there is a way to feel better and be okay. And there is failure when you're in pain, and there is success when you're out of pain. And the whole point is getting to a place where you are free and better. And, like, you know, spoiler alert and apologies, but it literally doesn't work that way. Yes, of course, you can be chronic symptom free, because chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. And we're here learning and growing and understanding that there's nothing to be afraid of, and you are not broken, and your trauma is being expressed through your body, and we can circumvent that and all the things. But there is no arrival at a place where you just don't hurt anymore. And there's no arrival at, like, oh, you're free of back pain, you're never going to feel it again. You're going to feel it the way you feel the whispers of a bad mood. You're going to feel it the way you feel the struggle of a difficult time in your life, and maybe it would ache in your back a little bit, or ache in your head, or ache in your stomach, or cause some anxiety or depression. But that's just information. Pain is not inherently bad. It is strong stimulation. It is information. It is your nervous system saying to you, look, 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 look over here. Please, God, look over here. Don't look over into your heart where you know how hard this is for you. That's too dangerous. Don't look there. Look at your back. Look at your stomach. Look at your head. So that's a never-ending journey. That's called the human condition. That's called being alive. Sometimes we feel things in our hearts, and sometimes we feel things in our bodies, and they are literally interchangeable. You can be in pain in your wrist, and it can be sadness, grief, anger, fear, annoyance, overwhelm. And when it is acknowledged, and when it is seen for what it needs to be seen through your journal speak practice, through your meditative practice, through your understanding and your knowledge of everything we do here, it will ease. But it doesn't matter. I mean, not doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you're a failure if it comes back or if it comes somewhere else. Like, welcome to the world and welcome to my life, because, and I'm always very honest, I have symptoms that fly through my body all the time. And I say, hey, what's going on here? And I'm usually able to eliminate them within the hour, certainly within the day. And it's just, they pass through. I'm a big fucking feeler. I feel everything so big. And maybe you do too. And that's, and part of being a big, big feeler and caring deeply about yourself and others and the world and big love and big pain and big grief is you're going to feel things move through your body physically. The body keeps the score, my friends. So, okay. I'm losing myself in this passionate diatribe. So the point is that if we see ourselves as only successful or as only growing or as only on the proper trajectory, if we can arrive at a certain place, check off a box and say, well, then what's next? You know, that will really make me feel accomplished or satisfied. We are missing the point, as Ram Dass points out, that the obstacles in the path are the path. We are here to be challenged. We are here to get out of our comfort zone, and we're here to grow. And sometimes we just need our shoulders shaken to be reminded that that's what we're here for. And so I hear Dana saying, I kind of get it. I kind of got an inkling, but I need to kind of call myself out because I'm sitting here, you know, focused on my insomnia, focused on my kids and whatever challenges they bring. And like, I know there's a numbness. And the numbness, by the way, is TMS. So just like a headache could be TMS or all the other things I'm always describing, that feeling of numb, that curtain of numb that falls over us that doesn't really allow us to attach to how big we're feeling, it's another protective mechanism by your nervous system to say, look away. Let's see, for Dana personally, and I'll just conjecture here, your concern that you don't know what you want to do with your life, that you don't know, that you're not sure what brings you passion, you know, and purpose, which is such a common fear and worry for us as people, that's too dangerous to feel. Your frustration and maybe the monotony of the day-to-day with little kids, well, that's too dangerous to feel. What if you were to get in your car and drive away? What if you were to abandon your family? I mean, these are the nervous system's deepest, most undressed fears. What if you stopped caring for your young? You know, I mean, think about this. This brings us back to sort of like evolutionary biology. Like, what is it to be, what is it to carry on the species? And if to carry on the species means you have to want to take care of your kids, well, then it probably isn't very adaptive to feel how shitty it feels sometimes on a daily basis to take care of your kids. Because if you felt that, maybe your primitive nervous system feels that you would abandon them, you know, leave them behind. They will not survive without you. And so all of this just makes so much sense, right? When we sit in it and we say, wow, of course, that's why I go numb. Because in order to feel that, I will, you know, self-destruct. And when we go numb, but there's a part of us, there's that subconscious slash sometimes a little bit conscious part of us that knows, you know, going numb is not helping me here, and it also doesn't feel right, and it also doesn't feel good. Well, what happens? Your nervous system is going to protect you with something you can focus on that feels safer, which is a symptom. Even though you don't like your symptom, I call it safe in the unsafest way. Your nervous system enjoys your symptom because it feels as if it's keeping you right where it needs you. You're focusing on something so basic, like a physical problem. And insomnia fits into that category. You know, I'm worried I won't sleep. I'm worried I won't have energy tomorrow. I'm worried that, you know, I'm going to do this again tomorrow night and, you know, and for every night till the last syllable of recorded time. And oh no, woe is me. Trust me, Dana, I have been there. And so, you know, that feels like a safer space. So let's go back to the Ram Dass of it all. So if indeed your children are your spiritual practice, and if indeed the obstacles in the path are the path, well, what do we do? You're right. Then what is the next right considered action? What is the thing that is going to make us feel like we're looking toward what we need to look toward in order to move forward? And the first thing I'll say is it's really about perspective and the deepening of our understanding of what really brings us joy. So the bottom line is this, and we all know it, but we need to be reminded sometimes. There is no future. Like, there is, and it will come, but all we really have is this moment. I am sitting here at a computer on a beautiful podcast microphone talking to you. Now, I could easily want to get it over with and get on with my day. I could be thinking about, well, what am I going to do for the next podcast? But like, what good am I to you if that's the case? I am here, sitting here, speaking to you. And I can see you. I can picture you. You're right there. All your little faces. I can envision that I am making a difference to you. And in that moment of presence and touching into what is, I am making a difference somehow, for one of you at least. And that is all we have. Your beautiful moments with your children. That is all you have. And if you want to transform, please do understand this. Transformation begins with the radical acceptance of what is. It's a quote from Danielle Laporte. And I use it all the time because transformation is not helped along by the radical acceptance of what is. Transformation begins, meaning we cannot transform when we are fighting reality. Another great quote is by Byron Katie. When we fight reality, we lose, but only 100% of the time. We cannot fight what is. You have little kids. You left your job. You're trying to figure out what's next for you. You're insomniac. That's what's happening today. That's what is. Let's sit with that. That's a great journal speak exercise, by the way. I like to call it journal speak for radical acceptance, that you make a little short list of a few things that are in your life. Right. So for Dana, it would be, I'm a mother of small children. I don't have a career right this moment. And, you know, maybe three other things about your life that are just the truth, whether you like them or not. They are the state of the union. And then you take each thing and you just tell the story of what is. And you start like a court reporter and you just sort of write out the story of what, you know, what's happening and what it feels like and what it looks like and what it tastes like and what it sounds like. You know, touch into it and write it out. And then as the journal speaky part of it invites you in, meaning the darker, maybe more unspeakable things, you write those out too. You tell the truth. You tell the embarrassing, cringy truth about, you know, different parts of it as they invite themselves to you. You dive deeper when you're invited to dive deeper. And then when you're done, kind of take a deep breath, get a cup of tea, you know, whatever it takes to kind of recenter and read it. And say at the end of reading it, wow, looks like that's what is, right? Don't try to change it. Don't try to feel better about it. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to come up with solutions. Nope. Wow, look at that. Looks like that's what's happening. Okay. Well, all right. There we are. And I will tell you, it is one of the most powerful vehicles for change I have ever experienced, because once you accept deeply and radically that which is, you are primed for transformation. You will look at something that previously seemed completely untenable or unchangeable or whatever, however you may have found it, and said, okay, that's what it is. Well, maybe there's opportunities there, or maybe there's some wiggle room. Huh. Well, I didn't see that before, but now that I'm really just looking at what it is and not spending all my energy fighting it and wanting it to be different, look at that. Kind of feels like I could do something differently. It's amazing. It's amazing. So please try that, Dana and everyone else. So if we only have the moment, if that is what we've got as human beings, and if our impact is only really the strongest when we are in this moment, when we're not sitting here pre-grieving or future casting, when we're literally here with our, whatever we're doing and whatever person is in front of us, that's called satisfaction. I know it's crazy, but that's called satisfaction. And another thing that I always think when I think about parenting young children, which I no longer do, you know, my kids are 15, 18, and 20, and there are challenges with that as well, but very different challenges. I have plenty of time and space to do whatever I need to do. And, you know, I've got these teenagers who are like real big people in the world, and those challenges are different, different podcast. But the point is that I think about when they were young, and I think about the essay, one of the most profound and guiding lights of my young parenting, which was the essay by Anna Quinlan called On Motherhood. Please look it up. And if you do look it up, find the edited version that was printed I think it was the New Yorker. It printed in a publication somewhere, because it's just it's tight and it's better than the long form. But it's called On Motherhood, and it is about the fact that we always are wanting the next thing, Dana. We're always wanting what's next, what's next, what's next. And we numb out and we just want, you know, dinner and bath and bed and get it over with and do it all again tomorrow. And how now, looking back with her grown children, how she wishes that she had just been in the moment more. And even though I, Nicole, have been a victim of that, this whole process of wanting the next thing and wanting fulfillment in after I'm done with this stressful thing, I will say that essay changed my life, because I read it when my kids were really little, and I could feel the profound regret I would have if I really never stopped and paused and just sat in the moment and touched into the presence, even if the presence felt uncomfortable for me. And I have done that enough. I'm not perfect, but I have done that enough over the 20 plus years I've been parenting to have really been there. And not like, please don't say, think I'm holding myself up, because like a lot of times I've also screwed it up and wanted the next thing, but enough times I've paused and been there. So I want to encourage you guys with little kids, read that essay and take what you take from it. But it's really astounding how different you can feel when you just let yourself be there, and you will feel so much less guilt and regret afterwards. So that's another thing that I wanted to mention. And, you know, acceptance, just acceptance in general, that we are here to be uncomfortable. We're here to question. We're here to get curious. And then we're here in that questioning, curiosity, and discomfort to know we're moving to what's different. And what's different can feel like a relief, because we can feel more awake and more alive and more tapped in. And that's where it is. That's where it's at. And I really don't come today with massive solutions. I come with a lot of assignments, quite frankly, because I can't tell you, Dana or anyone else, how to feel like you have arrived. You know, of course, there's no arriving, but how to feel that feeling of satisfaction and total contentment. I can't tell you, but I can tell you what to do in order to gain more moments of it, which is the stuff we're talking about today. The first is we stop fighting what is. You know, the obstacles in the path are the path. Your children are your spiritual practice. It is not about waiting for something. Just knowing that can be a relief and can be the springboard for what's next. And then doing the work to uncover that which we are unconsciously fighting against so hard that we need symptoms like insomnia and others. You know, the symptoms are the safety. The symptoms are the lily pad in the pond of life where we're too tired to swim anymore. And even though those lily pads feel like we need them, we can take those breaks without being sick. You know, one of the things I talk about on Instagram sometimes is the fact that we need to make space for the fact that we don't need to be sick in order to take a break, and we don't need to work ourselves to death in order to feel worthy. But those are two things we do as, quite frankly, a coping mechanism against our own shame and self-doubt that we are not worthy unless we have an excuse for something. We're not allowed to just rest. We're not allowed to be less than crazily productive all the time. And that's not true. That's not true. But in order to feel the moment of connection with ourselves, we have to do the work. Because otherwise, we'll just always lapse into the unconscious loop of do, being a human doing instead of a human being, which is not what we want in life. So, you know, just understand that all of this is incredibly challenging. It's not easy, but it is the way. And when we start seeing our obstacles as our path, we start to appreciate our obstacles in a different way. We start to wear our life and our challenges more loosely and be able to be present because we're not waiting for something to be over. We're realizing, oh, wait, this is the thing. This is the experience. This is the reason I'm here. And here's another thing. Without this thing, without this challenge that I'm in that feels really cringy and hard and unpleasant, I'm not getting to anything that feels deeper and more satisfying. This is the path. You can't step over this stepping stone on the path. The path stops. Because, you know, the path presents itself as you take the next step. That's what the concept of the next right considered action is. You know, when we panic and spin out thinking I need to know the trajectory of the next, let's say, year of my life in order to feel okay, that's when we feel stuck. Because the truth is that the path appears as we take the next step. You know, there's some cliche like jump and the net appears, but it's like kind of true. I hate cliches. I was raised on hating cliches because my father thought they made for poor writing, which he's right. But the point is that cliches are cliche and spoken again and again and again because they tap into truth. And the truth is you do jump and the net appears and you do step and the next step of the path appears for you. And that just is what happens. So, Dana, I hope this sheds some light on what you need to do next. And I really appreciate your honesty and your bravery to reach out. Please, guys, if you're experiencing any sort of a stuckness or an issue like Dana is, go to speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs and leave me a message. They all are heard, sometimes not exactly on the week that they're sent because we have a big backlog, but Lisa and I listen to them. And we appreciate them and we cry with you and we laugh with you. We really, really do. And then, you know, some get chosen to actually appear on the air, which is great because then you, with your SpeakPipe, are helping millions of other people, which is fantastic and such a great service. So please do continue to connect with me via SpeakPipe. And remember that if you need any of my help, just go to thecureforchronicpain.com. So much there, so many free resources, my courses, my retreat recordings, meditations, even wallpaper for your smartphone of, you know, inspirational stuff that I've put on Instagram. So please do that. And just remember that, you know, you're here to be with your people. You're here to be in the moment. Even when you're uncomfortable, the road to different is uncomfortable. But I'm offering it to you, and your life is offering it to you, and your pain is offering it to you. And, you know, it all matters. So I send you big, massive love. I hope that this podcast finds you well. And until next week, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I will see you then. Bye-bye.